Hello, thank you for joining us. We're here with the New Life series, educational series with Dr. Michael Lyman. Hello, Dr. Lyman. Hello, Nitza Mazuz. Hello. And we're talking with Rav Lightman in the recent discussions about the Israeli society. Today we have a celebration. We're talking about the day that most of us define as the most Israeli day of the year, the Passover Seder. Nitza put us into the vibe. Why isn't there anything on the table? We're still before. We're in the preparations. It's a holiday that requires the greatest preparation. We clean a lot in other holidays, but in Passover, there's something very special. We already feel 2 or 3 weeks. We're starting to get organized with the cleaning. We're checking where we're going to do the holiday this year. Maybe we're even having guests over. Then we have lists, who we're inviting, what we're cooking, what we're wearing, what has to be fixed in the house. There's a lot of preparations for that, for this holiday. There's a lot of excitement around this holiday. It's a holiday, the Passover Seder. The whole family comes together around the table. They come from all over the country, sit together, and it's really a very special Israeli evening. You can say it's an experience that every Israeli knows well, doesn't give up at any time, and that's what we want to talk about today. So first of all, as preparation, even before the Seder itself, as preparation, what's all this cleaning? Why is this holiday characterized by so much cleaning? Here I already have to start from the foundation. Once upon a time, it's a legend, right? Long before the exodus from Egypt, our forefathers, they weren't even our forefathers yet. We used to live in Babylon with a very strong and wise and cruel king. He was a liar, sneaky. His name was Nimrod. He knew the nature of man, and he manipulated us. He knew how to control us. And people used to live a good life, relatively simple. Everyone in a convenient way. And suddenly they started to discover bad relations to one another. Nimrod symbolizes for us the ego that began to develop between people. And all those people, which is actually the entire civilization of that time on the planet, they began to feel uncomfortable with one another. Like they say today, his grass is greener, he has a Cadillac, he has a new refrigerator, a new washing machine, you're looking at everyone. And also my wife is looking. She has a dress like this, and then another dress, the neighbor, and their kids are nasty all of a sudden, are rude. He has 2 dogs, all kinds of symbols. Everyone started paying attention to what the other has. We stopped saying hello to one another. Everyone's like today in those big apartments, like we see here, these big buildings. To make a long story short, the ego grew, and that's it. They stopped feeling that they belonged to one people, to such an extent that they began to have very big conflicts between them. But Nimrod, like I said, was a cruel and wise king. He knew human nature very well, and he knew how to control them. You tell those people that they're not okay, and you tell the other ones that they're not okay, and you control both of them and continue like that. There were very great arguments, even to such an extent that they stopped understanding one another. that the ego separated people to such an extent that it was like each person was talking in a different language. No one could understand the other. And then one of the wise people rose up, Abraham. His father was one of the, let's say, one of the greatest supporters, consultants of Nimrod, Shmoterech. His name was Terach. He was all for Nimrod. He was all for capitalism, rational, developing with the ego. It will advance this way. And society like the modern society. As it was in those days. And Abraham started talking the opposite, precisely out of the fact that he was part of that whole crowd. He used to feel what was happening. He suddenly started to feel that all these things aren't going in the right direction. That the entire ego that's growing, and it was really growing in front of his eyes. He was a very wise man. He was one of the religious priests at that time in Babylon. And Terach was also very respected. He made statues, he sold statues, he had a good business. And you know, someone you buy statues from is someone who's very respected, that you're afraid of, that you appreciate. He's close to God. He knows about forces and things. He does all kinds of blessings. And Abraham is the opposite. Like the result is as a result of his path, and he understood that the direction has to be actually the opposite. As usual, like kids against the parents, they revolt against the parents. Here it was very highlighted. In a natural manner, a kid is advanced more than his father. And they didn't agree with him, with Abraham. Terach and, of course, Nimrod didn't agree. Abraham was already 30-something. He had started these things. He started telling everyone that all these statues are rubbish and all this advancement, according to the ego, is incorrect, that we have to connect actually to maintain that quality we had when we were one nation, we were all friends, we were all brothers. And this is how he started to disseminate his method. And it was against Terach and Nimrod. Why? If people started connecting, then it's very hard to manage them because they connect. They have an agreement between them. Everything's clear between them. What do they need a king for? They need a king when those gang up on those. Then the king in the middle arranges things. The king also feels that he has a place in that society, that he can be the king over the different parties and factions. So they felt, Terach and Nimrod, that Abraham's not okay. Abraham's really going in a completely different direction. And here, for the first time in human history, we see two directions. One is going with the ego. It doesn't matter if you call it capitalism or something else. Of course, it wasn't like today. But we either develop according to the ego and flow with it. On top of the ego is the basis, and above it I develop in a natural manner. I build all kinds of systems to implement my will to receive, my egoistic will to fill myself with all kinds of things, the consumption society. This way everyone enjoys. Whoever's smarter, whoever's more successful, he gets more. Whoever is less gets less. He has to agree with it. Just like in America, everything's fine. And the opposite manner of development. Development not according to the ego, but precisely the opposite, according to the connection between everyone, where our entire ego, we have to see as a helpmate, that we develop above it, meaning the opposite. The more that I reject others, the more that I want to see myself superior to others, the more that I, in all kinds of ways, I want to connect with others to take advantage of them, I'm doing the opposite. I'm doing all the acts with my ego where I need to, but only to connect equally with everyone. Truly, this is not a natural method. It appears that way. But truly, it's a very natural method. We just use nature in the opposite manner. Just like we have two faces. Like we need the ego, but we just use it as a reflection of it. And we need it, we need to maintain it. We attach ourselves to it. But rather, all the time, the egoistic form gives us the ability to see how opposite we have to be. To the extent that I feel that you are rejecting me, I precisely have to relate to you the opposite, meaning using the ego not in a direct way, but in the opposite way. Altogether. Like a contrast. That's why this method is called the shadow. It's the shadow of the previous egoistic method. What does it give you? It gives a person, when he begins to use his ego in this manner, it allows him to understand his nature, the egoistic nature. So I don't go that just I want and I grab from the table. It's good for me. I take from everyone. I go into everything, just like kids without any brains. I go according to nature, according to my nature, like animals. Here, by my acting in the opposite manner each time, precisely opposite, it's as if I'm taking a reflection of the format of my ego, and then I understand what the ego is itself, what its opposite format is, and the gap between them, where I'm making this overcoming of myself. It's not a natural movement. I have to do the opposite. And there I begin to understand what my nature is. And then I can understand it and get into it deeply and feel it deeply. Get into it in depth. Why am I created in this manner? For what purpose? Am I here? What is the process that I have to go through? What does each and every act like this bring me toward? I begin to feel here that I'm doing the opposite, this opposite act from the ego, and I'm starting to feel that same force that is making the ego in me, that made the ego in me. We feel like we are in some space as creatures on the planet, like with all the little bugs running around. And there's forces in nature that are managing us. The force that's managing my ego, I don't know what it is, but it's something that's managing. And then I, by making a copy of my ego, I begin to feel that power, that force that is shaping inside me my desire, my ego. By my making a reflection of my ego toward each and every other person, in relating opposite to my ego toward everyone, I reveal that same force that is giving life to my egoistic desires. And that's how it happens. But that's from Abraham finding the solution. It's called that he discovered God, the previous force that is maintaining our nature. Then he began to promote this method to all the Babylonians. It was against Nimrod and Terach. Nimrod and Terach are just names that we know from then, but of course there were tons of governors and ministers and wise men, counselors, consultants. He had a consultant, Nimrod. And they all said to Abraham, if you don't shut up, even though you're one of ours, there's a limit how much you can go wild with your new method. It's ruining our affairs. You can add a bit of excitement here and there, but more than that, no. And Abraham was hot-tempered. He saw and he understood that it's really a method, and it's an opposite method for the human existence. And he didn't stop. They put him into jail. They really went hard against him. And then he got out. He got out of there with 5,000, like Rambam wrote, 5,000 people that joined him, that were prepared to go precisely in this method, to manage themselves according to this method, to make a society that's completely opposite than the rest of humanity, that operates not according to inner natural urges, animal urges, because it's just slightly more than animals, this egoism, but rather the opposite. Precisely where all this internalness, egoistic internalness that awakens in me, I always translate it to the opposite. And this is how I advance. This group left Babylon, moved to Canaan, is settled here, etc. And then they began to feel that they're advancing, but not so much. It's called the house of Abraham, the house of Yitzchak, the house of Yaakov. That's truly the eras that went by, and also with the eras that went through, it's many years, they also went through changes inside them. The ego is growing in each one. There were conflicts. There were all kinds of problems. And at the same time, they overcame it more or less. They acquired lots of experience in this. Kids were born. They raised their kids according to the same method. And the main thing was maintaining the connection between them, the arvut, mutual responsibility, this mutual obligation. We're maintaining one another because it's impossible. If one person doesn't feel the environment supporting him, he has to go above the ego. You have to remember it all the time. You have to feel all the time that each moment that something's awakening in you, how you thought, how you looked at it, what's happening. You always have to be in this internal work. And this has to go into you in a natural, a practically natural manner, and it's never natural because the ego is always growing in a sneaky way. Like that same Nimrod, it's working in you. And you have to above it, you have to work above it all the time. It's nonstop work, truly. It's constant. But when you're doing this work and when you can truly follow your desires and thoughts, your heart and mind, then you begin to feel each time advancement in the awareness of life, the feeling of life, the source of life, feeling the source of life. Because actually a person connects to that same place where his ego comes from. Then he gets to know his ego and that force of bestowal that's awakening in him, his ego, and in the power of his ego that he's transforming, he's reaching that power of bestowal, and then he feels he's going through some special flow of the feeling of life, some great space, some spirit from a completely different level of life, living above the ego. He feels that he's truly floating above his body. Because our ego is identified with the physiological body, this creature. And a person begins to feel that he's floating. And this feeling gives him the feeling of new life. And this is how they grew. And afterward, they felt some type of period that was a period of strife, conflict, that's called in Torah terms between the sons of Yaakov, the 12 brothers, that later became 12 tribes, that also with them this conflict began, relative between everyone. There were different mothers, which is also a basis for a different egoistic attribute in each person. Everyone worked correctly, but each one according to his angle. They belong to that, and they belong to that one, and there's a difference. Not difference because of the mothers, in that they were completely equal and understood that there's no connection. But in the foundation of the ego, it was also felt. But the difference in the method, we call it the three lines, different methods in working above our ego. But the main thing is they were against one of the brothers called Joseph. Joseph said, all of you are right, all of you are my righteous brothers, but my work includes all of you. Because precisely in the method that I'm working, meaning on my ego, that's called work, in this manner, it's possible for every person to reach the correction of his complete nature. Brothers, his brothers, since they had each of them a method that was based on their nature, they can't develop something that's not in their ego. Joseph had it, and they didn't have it yet. They didn't. He had a greater. He was more developed than them, so they didn't agree with him. And then, as a result of this conflict, they began to feel this big ego, and in accordance with this great ego, they suddenly discovered that they have to go down to Egypt. There's hunger between them, there's a fight between them in Eretz Canaan, there's starvation, and they go down to Egypt. Then we have that whole story of the descent to Egypt with Joseph, Potiphar's wife, etc., etc. And then they go into 7 years of abundance. What does it mean? That they begin to feel that the use of the ego, as Joseph said, is the correct use. It's the correct use. And that's truly good. They multiplied, they lived well. They were connected between them in a good way until Joseph came along, everything was fine. And afterward, Joseph died, meaning that same method. It's not a man, but that same method, as usual in life, it fulfilled itself. The ego continues to grow, and we're no longer capable of managing it and connecting above it and being as a nation of Israel between the Egyptians with this great ego that's around us. Just like, let's say, we would have remained in Babylon, in this small group of the nation of Israel in Babylon. So here they started to feel that they are truly not isolated from the Egyptians, but rather above the Egyptians. They began to go down and be inside Egypt. The Egyptians started not to be under them, and the people of Israel are like managers and with all this ego in Egypt. Joseph and the entire nation of Israel used to manage this ego that grew in them more and more. This is the symbol of the 7 years of abundance, where the Egyptians used to work also for the sake of the growing ego and also for the sake of the Israel inside it. And the method fulfilled itself, and suddenly the nation of Israel, instead of being above, sank down and reached a level where it feels itself that the Egyptians are all around them, closing in on them, that they're beginning to pressurize them, meaning a person feels inside that the ego starts being heavy. I don't know what to do with it. I lost the method. The old method no longer works. That's what's called Joseph dying. The house of Jacob, to make a long story short, with Jacob they went up to Israel to bury him. They took Joseph. So the method was finished. We can see from all these things, from Babylon till today, up to this end of the 7 years of abundance, that there's periods in this work against the ego of a person towards society, the world, himself. There's periods, different periods. These periods we call steps. Why steps? Because a person feels himself, the fact that he's going in an antagonistic manner and always raising himself above his increasing ego, that he is more and more rising. The more the ego goes down, becomes deeper, becomes stronger, the person can go in anti to that to go higher. The ego goes down, a person goes up. It went down more, the person goes up more, and each time they go up. So it means that precisely because of the ego that works as a helpmate, a person begins to rise up in stages of understanding, attaining his own inner nature, not his egoistic nature, but the nature that is shaping the ego in him, that's called divine, God. And Elohim in Gematria is nature. And what happens afterward? 7 years of hunger. They don't know what to do with this ego. They were never in a situation. A new king came into Egypt that didn't know Joseph. He didn't know what Joseph had done for him. He didn't know about the favor. He stopped feeling the ego. He felt that he has something, that they're working with him in this manner. Until now, in all their work, from the exodus from Egypt until now, that they went through, not in kilometers, but in their internal work, the ego was always something that was profiting. It always received something as well. And now, in this period, this final period in Egypt, after the 7 years of abundance, it's over. And now they are beginning to work in a situation where the ego has nothing left. Meaning they begin to feel that they can't take advantage of it. The Israelis. Sorry, I want to explain this. If in their inner spiritual work until now, they went in a manner that they always had a profit, this group that left Egypt. And from this point, they began to feel that truly, like we say to eat straw, it's a Hebrew expression. Here there really was straw. Straw in Hebrew is kushiot, problems. They began to get stuck in such problems between them that they didn't understand what all this is for. There began to be questions that if previously we could see that through the ego, that we're rising above it, that we're building a better society, a newer society, a prettier society, we feel good about it, we're thriving, we have everything, suddenly we're discovering that we're working above the ego. We want to be connected. We want to be brothers. But we don't see any result, good result from this. Once Abraham did say it would be good, and it was truly good, Isaac, Jacob's brothers, Jacob's sons, Joseph, we felt that we are rising above the ego all the time. We're working, and the ego is supporting our work. We felt that we're opening for ourselves horizons, that we're feeling life better. We have a blessing from the sky. The Israel's multiplied in Egypt. But suddenly we go out to work on this new ego that's called Pharaoh, this new one, because there's a new king in Egypt. He has a very cruel character. He doesn't allow us to live. Even though we want to connect between us and unite, we're not capable of doing that. That's called, he's obligating us to build him these beautiful cities, Pitom Ramses. We're really finished there. We're not capable. These are very beautiful cities, but us, in order to build them, we have to be connected between us to do this work. And in this connection, we don't feel that we're connecting. If once upon a time we could have connected between us in a simple effort, and we could have gone forth and connecting in our vood and mutuality and to continue. Suddenly we can no longer do that. It's above us. We're not capable of doing it. And the people of Israel had a lot of hard work. Why? And here, between them was revealed a new force called Moses. This Moses actually exists in every person slightly. But when we're talking about the general leader like Abraham, and Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef, here's Moshe. Moshe is a whole story in himself, how he grew up inside a man, this attribute Moses, and how he grew in the nation. But the nation got an explanation. Moses explained like this. We have no choice. We have to fight with Pharaoh. How can we fight Pharaoh? We see that we're not capable. Once upon a time, we couldn't connect and we escaped from Babylon, and Nimrod couldn't do anything about it. We rose above him by connecting. And he didn't even send anyone after us to get us. He was a king. How did he let part of the nation leave? But because we were connected, he didn't have the strength to harm us. Can I ask a second? Nimrod was actually a type of ego. That opposite, there was the method of Abraham that it was upgraded and worked across this ego, the type of Nimrod. And now the ego also got an upgrade and became actually Pharaoh. Nimrod became like Pharaoh, yes. So it's still ego, just much more, like you said, cruel, like throughout history. And actually, the previous method of Abraham also had to get an upgrade to deal with this new ego. Yes. So this new ego, this new method is actually Moses. Yes. Okay. So what Moses revealed to them is that we advanced. Not just that we have to go through the same method, but to truly make an upgrade of it, a very special upgrade. We need to that same force that's shaping our new ego called Elohim, God, we need to connect with him and work with him in collaboration. This is the new stage. And that's why the previous system isn't working. The previous method isn't working. I don't understand. What's not working in the previous method? It's not working anymore. We were finished with the previous method. We took our ego, we corrected it, we rised above it, we connected and reached a state where now there's a different type of ego that's arising in us. That's why we feel it like Pharaoh controlling us, our ego. That's not allowing us to connect. That the Pharaoh that's controlling us, we're suddenly beginning to behave like in Babylon, like the Egyptians themselves, even though we're the people of Israel, that we're always connected, that brethren. So what is that new type of ego? It's a special new type of ego from a different stage, that in order to work with it, to connect above it, we need to be in partnership with that same force awakening the ego in us, which is called God. So Moses explains to them, in order to take advantage of Pharaoh, in order to beat, yes, to beat Pharaoh, no, really, to take advantage of him. To beat him, yes, but actually to leverage him properly. We need to be connected to that same force to work together along with it. Previously, it was enough to have an ego to overcome it, and now we need truly to be going along with him. It's called discovering him, that he will be revealed in us as a force operating in us. Just like the ego awakening, this force also awakens. And Moses begins working on this. But to discover this force, then the people of Israel have to be connected. They need to feel that they need this enticement. They need this method. They need to feel to what extent the ego awakening between them is stopping them, it's burying them. And this is called going through the 10 blows. They feel inside themselves, despite wanting to connect, even though they want to connect above the ego and be as one man with one heart, like in Abraham's method, love thy neighbor as thyself, chesed, love, compassion. Pharaoh does not allow it. And then this work in wanting to be together and connected as before and not being capable, the desire to want to be together and not being capable, they begin to discover a great disappointment and also great necessity along with it. Disappointment from not having the strength to do any kind of connection. And then they see themselves descending to a world war, civil war in the Maccabim times. It happened. We'll see it later. We'll talk about it. And the, on the one hand, through Moshe's management, where he is revealing that same force that's shaping the ego in them, the divine force, they go through still to this great necessity to get out of the situation. And then they reach a state where they're in total darkness. They have no idea what to do. There's a great necessity to connect, and there's also a tremendous disappointment and helplessness, what to do with this ego that we're under the control of. It's as if a person is in some type of mud or some swamp that he's not capable of getting out of. It's just pulling him and pulling him and swallowing him and swallowing him. That is the feeling before the Exodus from Egypt that we will soon, all of us, sink into. We'll sink into this hatred, and in that we'll completely disconnect from the feeling of life above the ego, which is air, life, a feeling of a different realm. That's called the level of human rather than the level of creature that we're living in. That's egoistic. And this night, we're talking about man. Until now, why is it so important? Because escaping Egypt is like that same escape from Babylon, just at a stage, a completely different stage. There we disconnected from Nimrod and began to develop only in our will to bestow on one another in a mutual manner. A person helps his fellow man. We weren't so egoistic. There wasn't such a great ego in the Babylon times, but here, after Egypt, where we have to raise ourselves out of this swamp, we're not just getting ourselves out, we're taking all the vessels and desires from the Egyptians. We're taking all the Pharaoh, everything out of the Egyptians, we're taking out anything that we can. Their entire ego is going along with us. And then we get out of this stage to connect in such a manner that we don't have the strength to connect, but we have the strength to escape. We have the strength to escape. through that same tiny strength that is called Moses, that all the nation of Israel and the Egyptians are at one standard, and just Moses is sticking out. It's a small force through which, but he's already connected with the upper force, with God, with the person shaping our ego. And therefore, through him, we can escape from Egypt. At night, in darkness, we don't understand anything, we don't see anything, but we're escaping the ego. We're taking all the vessels from this ego that symbolize all the egoistic desires that we can possibly afterward deal with, like Moses said. And we go out with the sheep and the levels of our ego, previous levels that we'll have to treat, etc. That's how we got out. That's how we distanced ourselves. We go out to a new stage of connection. It's not geographic that we move from Egypt to Sinai and begin this whole trek to Israel. But rather, the trip is in the inner method, in our inner method, how we connect. And then, in the desire to connect, still, no matter how much we escape from Egypt, we feel more and more that maybe we can escape, because otherwise Pharaoh will kill us and bury us finally in Egypt. And then we'll all try in mutual responsibility as much as we're capable. We're capable of reaching a connection. And this effort we make to connect, we're distancing ourselves from Egypt and we're connecting more. That's called distancing ourselves from Egypt, connecting more and more until we reach the level of the Sinai Mountain. And there we receive the method where we recognize the force of the ego. Along with that, we have the beginning of the feeling of power that created our ego, through our ego, thanks to this ego. We got to know this force. This is the burning bush to Moses, and afterward, come to Pharaoh. I made his heart heavy, where the supreme force says to Moses, we have Egyptians, we have the people of Israel, we have this general Pharaoh, we have Moses, who's standing out a bit from Israel. And all of us, all of Israel and Moses, are trying to get to know this force that's inside the will to bestow, that they're trying to raise it above the ego. And in this manner, they begin to get to know God. A force that permeates throughout nature, that plans, that holds, that develops everything, thought, desire, power. And how do they reach it? Again, it's good to go over the method. If we rise above the ego, like we did in Babylon, according to Abraham's method, they just rose above it. This is the ego below, growing and changing, and we're above it like some piece of wood on the water. We're always going through it, flowing through it. We're trying to connect despite all kinds of inner things happening against connecting. The main thing is a man's work with another man in a group, like Abraham's, that he made a group out of them, and which later called themselves a nation. And afterward, once they rose up, they felt it's a good method for living together, a commune. They still don't feel that it's some supreme force here. And through Pharaoh, in Egypt, where they began to work on the connection between them. There they feel that if they rise above this force to the extent that they feel that their ego is not just Nimrod, anti-everything, but is sneakier, more sophisticated in all kinds of calculations. When we rise above it, they begin to feel the force that's shaping their ego, that there's an inner program that's shaping their ego. And this program is in their brain, in their emotion. It's operating in the general plan. There's a reason and a result and some process. And in that, they begin to feel that there's someone standing behind their ego. This is called Pharaoh bringing the people of Israel closer to the people, closer to God. Just even by becoming more complicated and sneakier, they begin to feel that inside there, there's some brain and feeling of something, and that is called God, because He is doing, making this foundation for all of nature. And actually, the next stage is that we have to start to know Him, not just to feel that He exists, like with Moses, come to Pharaoh, but that in the coming against each other, through this, I can show myself, says God, to Moses. Why do I need Pharaoh? Because through him I will, you cannot see the force behind the ego that's shaping it unless you have this approach, this collision. And here they reach a stage after they leave Egypt, they reach the state of Mount Sinai, where the Babylon Tower was a very simple, small ego, but here it's a mountain of hatred, Sinai, like Sinai. It's revealed between them all the hatred of Egypt, this ego, all the Pharaoh between them is becoming revealed and distancing them and manipulating them and begins to work among them. And when they feel these inner conflicts, how much I'm against him, and all kinds of calculations, this hatred in each person and everyone together, this is called that all together they feel a network between them, that on the one hand they're connected to one another because they worked on it before, and on the other hand they feel that they are stuck together in some elevator, in a tiny elevator for 20 people, and they can't breathe. And this is the state of Mount Sinai, and this is where things will be determined. Either you're going to go for mutual responsibility, mutual guarantee, connection, you're continuing, or here's where you'll be buried. Then you're being buried in Egypt, in your ego, and that's it. And that's why this holiday of Passover, we really value it, because it's the beginning of our becoming a nation, that's connected to its foundation, to the inner force that's shaping nature, that it's called nature itself. And it is the beginning of our work with this force, this upper force, that there's none other beside him, that manipulates everything, that we got a connection with him, and now we can continue working with him in a mutual manner. That the next stage that we'll go to connect on will be with his help, that precisely with his revelation, it's not enough for us to just rise above the ego with our mutual forces, that he's helping us from behind the scenes, but rather he has to be revealed between us, not from the side, not from inside, but between us he has to become revealed as a connecting force instead of Pharaoh. Pharaoh, we feel is hatred between us, and God will feel as the connection permeating between us, the upper force. And then between us, what we'll feel this connection between us. This is called a soul, the general soul. And what we feel in it, in this soul, is spiritual, supreme life, the next world. That's what it's called. Instead of that previous feeling, we feel our lives in that. So the night that we left Egypt is for us a new birth. It's like birth, that we went Exodus, we left from the control of the ego, and not just raise ourselves to another stage like when we escape Babylon, but we're going out to a meeting with the upper force, that here already and onward we're going together. That's why this holiday is so important to us. From here onward, we have a connection with the Creator. We have an agreement. We have an alliance, and that's why this point is so important, because in an instinctive manner, through nature, even in the time of exile that we've almost forgot everything, this point we hold on to. I want to ask my question again that I asked at the beginning. I began with the question, the subject of the cleaning in Passover. So what are we actually cleaning? We're cleaning ourselves from our ego. To get out of Egypt, we have to rise up. We cannot be drowning in our ego. And we have to take ourselves out. We have to take all the vessels from there and get out of the control of the ego. And when we get out of the control of the ego, we're not yet under another type of control. We're still using the Egyptians' vessels. And then we begin connecting between us and our vut, mutual guarantee around the Mount Sinai, and then we continue. This cleaning is cleaning our ego. That we come out of Egypt, we have to come out pure. We have to come out clean. We buy new shoes, new clothes. We clean our houses. We eat matzah, there's no chametz in there, which symbolizes the ego. We move into 7 days of Passover, which is the break between the previous stage called Egypt, and after these 7 days, we return to chametz. But this chametz, we eat it at a stage where we can correct the chametz that is being joined to the matzah. Matzah symbolizes the force of bestowal, and chametz symbolizes the ego. I see that our show is up. I have many more questions. We're going to have to leave it for the next show. Our time is up for the first talk. As you can see, the Seder Passover has much depth. We have to open it up in additional talks. Thank you, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nitza Mazuz. Thank you for being with us. Until next time, all the best. We're making Seder. We're organizing life.